Welcome to episode 234 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on June 9th, 2021, from the Azure and AI Conference, a part of Devoneer Sections down in Orlando. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, Ben sits down with Chris Givens in person to discuss the conference, as well as Microsoft 365 Defender in securing your Microsoft Cloud environment. I'm sitting here. It has been a really long time since I have done any interviews at conferences. And I am sitting across the table from Chris Givens at the Dev Intersections conference, where we're hanging out with a whole bunch of other Cyliance folks in person.
All right. We're back to the in-person.
We've got some hybrid stuff going on too, but it's nice to be in person again.
It is nice to be in person. Got to miss out on doing things like riding in swan boats.
Exactly.
Disneyland Hotel.
Yes. Cyliance has us doing quite the scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Currently, you are in the lead, I believe.
No, you passed.
Oh, did I pass?
Thanks. Thanks for rubbing that one in.
Oh, yeah.
So before we go too far, Chris, I'm sure everybody knows who you are, right?
There might be a few.
A few people, whether it's good or bad. Yeah, have heard the name before. Do you want to give a brief intro about who you are, what you're doing?
Sure.
What we're doing.
So as you know, you do a lot of work for Cyliance. So I've been working with Cyliance for the last 4 years with Zoyner.
Okay.
Kind of out of San Diego. Got an amazing team of people all around the world that focus in on all kinds of very high-end complex solutions, including internal Microsoft. And as part of that, Zoyner has asked me to kind of be on our admin side, so I do a lot of our security. And on top of that, a lot of the projects, we do a lot of trainings, and we have to build those trainings. And you'll be helping out with some of that. I'm sure we can chat a little bit there. But you know, managing 250 partners around the world is quite the task. as you know, some of them install some apps every now and then that you're kind of like, huh. I might have to go look at that. Might have to deny that one.
Now, who might install apps that connect to an Office 365 tenant?
It might be sitting across the table from me.
No, so it is. We're doing some interesting stuff. And this week, especially, you've been giving a bunch of talks on Sentinel and SOC compliance. And it's led to lots of insights and presentations around kind of what you can do in that space, which ties into a lot of the stuff we've been doing for Cyliance as well.
That's correct.
What is some of that stuff that you've been talking about, that you've been diving into?
Well, I've always loved security. My background from the University of Tulsa was computer science, and the University of Tulsa is a bed of innovation for the NSA and the CIA. So I originally had the option to work for one of those orgs.
Okay.
But instead, I chose to go to IBM. And so I was working for IBM for a long time, moved me to Seattle. So security's always been built into me. I just never had that opportunity to like go and do stuff with it.
Got it.
So within the last few weeks and months, it's been interesting to see you've been on some of these ADS, the architectural design sessions, and having Microsoft CSAs that are data and AI, infrastructure apps. You know, they never wanted to do the security part.
No, nobody wants to talk about it.
I was the CISO. They just absolutely wanted to avoid me 100%. And so I obviously natural role there. And so the questions I throw at them, they didn't know how to answer. And it was pretty obvious that there's a gap there. And so Microsoft's addressing that with all the new security CSAs they've been hiring all over the world. And it's presented an opportunity for us to build a lot of the security trainings that these folks are going to have to run through. And as we're sitting here doing the conference, we've already done a lot of the work. So it was kind of like, well, it's just natural. Let's go do these sessions this week.
And
so we talked about Sentinel and Microsoft Defender Endpoint. Intune, the endpoint management. So those are amazingly hot products right now.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see. So I've watched it too. Like you used to have, and this was a lot of the ATP products before, right? Like the advanced threat protection, there was advanced threat analytics, and they've started bundling all of this stuff together, at least from that perspective, into Microsoft Defender, as that is an umbrella product, and they have like several sub-products under that now that relate to those different points. Like you said, the endpoint, the identity, I think there's two or three others in there?
Correct. Although you missed out on the 365.
Oh, the 365. Yeah,
Microsoft 365 Defender. And that's the all-encompassing of all the products, right? And then you're correct. Underneath it is Microsoft Defender for Endpoint, Microsoft Defender for Identity, Microsoft Defender for Office 365, which is, you were using the terms ATP. Those were the definitely the older names. They're now, of course, marketing. P&G is renames things
a
lot.
They get a hold of it.
Yeah, they get a hold of it. But it makes sense, Microsoft Defender. It is not Windows Defender because the products span across all products, all different operating systems. So makes sense that it says Microsoft Defender on it, but it also includes Cloud App Security and some of that AD identity protection stuff.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. So how do those work together? Like somebody that's just starting off with this, they're like, you know what? I know I need to do security. I hear all of these different terms, these products. Obviously, licensing plays into it, which we may or may not want to even talk about. But how do you, I guess when you're explaining Microsoft Defender 365 to people, how do you talk about it and start explaining all those different products to them and how you would maybe position those within your company to increase your security?
Yeah, so obviously we've seen over the years a lot of these larger IT corporations have software. They go and start bundling things together and they get in trouble. Antitrust kicks in, especially in Europe. And it's starting to be a little more here in the United States. And you look at these different products that are underneath this main Microsoft 365 Defender, the reason those are there, they each all have their own security portal. So it's kind of crazy for me having to jump across a bunch of different portals. But the reason those are there is because you can pick the ones you want to use and decide not to use other ones, right? And so if they forced you into all of them, obviously they'd probably get sued and pay a bunch of money. But it's, you know, you think about that and where we've gone with the world, it's kind of ridiculous because you look at these products and go, man, you got to have them. Like, there's just no, how are you going to defend from all of these current threats that are out there without having every one of those? And I just don't see how you could do it. So, but from a business legal standpoint, they got to be broken out.
Got it. So, you talk about doing all of them. Is there one in particular? Like, say someone had to start with one. We have the Microsoft Defender for Office 365, for identity.
Which we would be very familiar with from your current and my past.
You have Microsoft Defender for Endpoint now, the whole endpoint management, the antivirus, the SafeLinks. Like, what do each one of those encompass? Do you want to walk through those four or five and maybe like what security vulnerabilities or what aspects of security each one of those addresses?
So we can slowly work with some of the not so sexy ones and move over to the main sexy one. How about that? So the Microsoft Defender for Identity is going to be the Azure ATP, used to be that name. And so that would be all the stuff you think about when I have to monitor our Soliance partners all around the world and they're logging in and using our different Microsoft applications that we obviously use. A lot of us are MVPs and RDs. And so that helps with identity. And what we end up doing with that and what I've got set up is the integration with our SaaS apps. So in order to get into our SaaS apps, you have to be on a Soliance.net account, which means I can monitor it at all times, which also plays into the cloud app security so that I can see, you know, who's adding apps that have consent. And if I need to, I can shut things down just by simply turning off their Azure AD or simply saying, you can't have that app. there's a lot of neat stuff there. Obviously, if we move into Office 365 space, we've both been doing that for a long time.
Yep.
So that's all those products of like data loss protection and e-discovery, which we have to use when we're, if there is a threat that has gotten in and we got to look at the email and figure out, we've had different customers that have had issues. We've had our own one incident that I caught 0 day that could have been very bad. But when you go and you look at that, you got to be able to backtrack in Office 365, like, where did they go? What did they do? And be able to record it for investigation purposes. You got to pass to the FBI. And so there's that stuff. And then kind of moving into the really sexy one is the endpoint, Microsoft Defender for Endpoint. And so that's the amazing one. So everything we're working on with the training that we want to give to these CSAs that are inbound is that particular product and how it works for with Microsoft Defender for antivirus and how that integrates with Windows 10 and Windows Server 2019. That is, if you were getting into this and there was one product I said you have to have, it's the Microsoft Defender for Endpoint.
That's the endpoint. And the endpoint one is the one that includes all the Intune too, right? Like, is that the device?
It is separate.
Okay.
It's separate. There is a separate license, a separate portal. So the Intune would be the device management aspect of it. But the two of them integrate together very tightly. Yeah. And most of these all integrate very tightly. And then, you know, we can move on to Azure Sentinel, which is the wrapper around all of them. Just this Defender for Endpoint is really the one that's the hot topic right now.
So that one, Intune integrates into it. So Endpoint then is, you said antivirus. That one also does like web, is that the one that does the web content filtering
there
as well
is,
if you
yeah,
do want to do
smart screen.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So this applies across. So Endpoint is not just, as you know, we said, Microsoft Defender, not Windows Defender.
Yep.
The individual, Rob Lefferts, who's running the engineering aspects on this, very smart guy. I interviewed once with him and Julia White for, I've thought about for a second going over to Microsoft.
Just for a second.
But then, you know, sitting with him, what an incredibly talented guy. So seeing him guide this product has been just amazing. And I would expect nothing less. But he put a lot of focus on cross-platform devices. So not just Windows 10 and Windows Server, but we're looking at iOS and Android, macOS, Linux. It'll run on all of them and manage all your and protect all your devices. That's great. Like, wow.
Yeah, because something we had talked about, I was sitting in one of your sessions earlier when you kept looking at me. You bring up certain things and like look at me and say, it was like this glare of Chris Gibbons from the stage of, yeah, I caught you doing this in our environment.
Yeah.
But in that session, you talked about endpoints, how important endpoints are when it comes to protection. And what is some of that? Like, you talk about endpoints. Why are those so important?
These ransomware folks, these state actors around the world, they got to get in. They need a way to get in. And typically that is, they need to get your password, so they're going to phish you. Believe me, they're pretty good at figuring out who global admins are and Azure tenants, and they'll come after you. And it's pretty insane to see the things that get thrown at us, and especially our CEO, Zoyner. That, it's incredible. And so if they manage to get in, they're probably going to do something where they're phishing you, they're sending you to some website on one of your devices where you're already logged in, you download it, it's now running as you, maybe you end up unfortunately getting Mimikatz installed, and then you get your hash is exposed, your Kerberos ticket is exposed, and then they start going laterally across your entire environment. And so if you can stop them from getting in at the endpoint, great. You're going to be very well protected from anything else.
Right, because you look at, like, they get into the endpoint, all of a sudden the Defender for 365, yeah, maybe it prevents some data exfiltration, but if you stop them at the endpoint, they don't ever even get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud.
So when it comes to endpoints, because endpoints aren't just end-user devices too. Endpoints could be my Mac, your Windows 10. It could be IoT devices. It could be servers. Is this endpoint manager, it applies to all of those?
It does, yeah. And probably the neatest thing, there's kind of two parts to all of it. There's the actual software that's going to run on the devices.
Yep.
It includes ML, AI, that's running on those devices, looking at behavioral components. There's about six different ML type of models that will run inside of the endpoint on the device. It's doing its thing, figuring out, well, you know what? Doesn't ever go over there. Why is it going over there, right?
Yep.
So that'll be a, you know, entity behavior where that is abnormal, right? An anomaly. It'll pick that up locally, disconnected devices. And then there's the cloud component of it, where when we look at some of the Forrester and Gartner reports that have come out on Defender for Endpoint, it's in the top. It's the leader in both of them. CloudStrike's the only other one that came close.
Okay.
And so looking at how it's doing that, it's because of the cloud component. So when we see the Microsoft Defender for Identity, all of the millions of users for Office 365 and the Azure AD, the state actors are hitting that every day, targeting organizations. So Microsoft is the only one that's seeing these massive numbers of signals. So they could take that data, roll it into their own ML. The endpoints can do their own local thing, but then they could talk to the cloud and go, well, here, let me share some endpoint signal data with you, some log data, if you will.
Okay.
And then they could go say, woo, we saw that over there. And someone flagged it as that's bad. So then all of a sudden, you're now getting real-time, zero-day attack information that I don't think there's anyone else in the world can do.
Right. Well, you look at that whole stack, and the interesting thing, like you said something in there that you have not just the machine learning in the cloud, but there's machine learning in the software on your computer.
That's right.
So it's learning when you're, well, once people start flying again. That's... can be learning while you're on the plane, it can be learning while you're disconnected, and then it's taking that, pushing it up to the cloud so the two of those are working together, and then using that to protect any other endpoints, any other organizations.
Not just like, in your org, but other orgs, yeah.
And that's one of the cool things that I like is I've started learning more and more about how the security works, how they can take advantage of that is when the cloud first started, a lot of companies were like, oh, it's not secure, it's out on the internet, anybody can get to it. But the amount of data and the amount of resources that Microsoft can use to enhance your security, he said nobody else can match it.
I couldn't imagine, yeah, the effort.
Yeah.
Just the product depth has given them this amazing opportunity that I just don't see anyone else having.
Right, because they get, it's billions of hits a
signals,
day,
yeah.
Signals that they get a day. And
not even now into the trillions and whatever, yeah. Zillions after that.
Right, like the amount of learning that they can do with the machine learning and the amount of, I don't even know what word to use to describe it, but just the amount of protection that can offer by being able to mine that much data,
yeah.
For these different attacks.
And it's interesting, there's a... they run through all of these tests. So a MITRE ATT&CK framework, they'll reverse engineer the signatures of the files and the attack, the processes that get fired off from this stuff. And so all that data is being recorded. It's there. It's available. And so one of the things they went and they said, well, let's see how you compare. And I said, well, CloudStrike was kind of there.
Yep.
But there was an unbelievable number of antivirus products out there. And so they did this test on a PDF and no one caught it, except for Microsoft Defender. And the reason Microsoft Defender, it wasn't because anything locally in the ML that knew about, you know, the PDF or anything, mm-hmm. but it was because when it did the cloud component of it, someone else had already tagged that site, its reputation was lower and had some issues with it. And so that made the cloud component actually go, maybe I should look a little bit deeper into this thing. And of course, it went and looked at it, and it caught it.
Interesting.
And it was the only one that caught it.
Wow.
Because of that cloud component of it.
Got it. Very cool.
Very, yeah.
So going into the wraparound, all of this too, you mentioned it earlier, and we can kind of circle back to it now, is you have all of these different components that are monitoring for things, helping you secure things. But there's also that component to not just keeping it secure, but being able to go in and investigate when certain incidents happen or set up some of these alerts and do some of the reporting on it. And you mentioned Azure Sentinel is kind of where all of this should end up if it isn't already.
Right.
One of those tools that you can take advantage of with this.
Yeah, we obviously, I've enabled all of the products to monitor all of our operational aspects and all the partners. And, you know, like I said, if I went into every one of those portals looking at the alerts that are fired and the instances that are in there, I'll be jumping around all day, all week long, you know, monitoring everybody.
Yep.
And of course, I have billable work to do, just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I have to be very efficient. So, you know, one of the sessions this week was on SOC compliance. And when these alerts fire, some of them need to be aggregated together, just create one incident. I close that instance, all those alerts get cleared out. That's a big part of Defender as well as Sentinel. And so one of the other neat things about bringing this efficiency to it, the whole picture, is if there's an incident that's surfaced in any of the lower level products, it'll come into Sentinel and I can close it in Sentinel. And then instead of me having to go over to the other portal and closing it over there, it actually will help. It'll close it for me. And so then I'm like, oh, this is great. And it makes my life a lot easier. So there's some value in some of the other things that Sentinel does rather than just let's aggregate all the logs together and everything. So it is a great product, and it is obviously, as you know, a part of the training that we'll be doing for the internal Microsoft folks. So it's also a hot product. You know, a lot of customers are kind of saying, oh, we want that value of that cloud component. And obviously Sentinel is also kind of gives you the same similar style of logging and alerting that the Defender endpoint side does. So you're seeing a lot of people saying, maybe it's time we do move off Splunk or and some of these other products. And that in itself is a migration, so that's a whole nother topic.
Oh, yeah.
But, we're starting to see a lot of adaptation to Defender and Sentinel. And it certainly is an area that's untapped, I think, in the partner community. And so if there's something don't be shy about security. This stuff is pretty easy. You can sit there and get some research in and spend some time with it. And then there's no reason customers should be getting ransomware attacked in today's age with the technology that's here. I'm sure there's a lot of people looking at their corporate infrastructure and going, man, the news going and say, hey, I don't want that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want it to happen to Saliance It's my baby, you know, so it's like, nope. I trust everyone that we have in the Saliance network, and I trust they're all going to do the right things, but you just never know what might happen. And so I don't want Saliance to be there, but then I look at the other customers out there in the world, and there really is no reason you should be getting a ransomware attack. With this technology, if you implement it, you should be just fine.
Should be protected from it. Yeah, and I feel like the beginning of this year especially, there's been a lot of focus on security. I don't know if it's the increase in ransomware attacks between there was the pipeline one that happened, and that same weekend I was actually working on another one for another client.
Oh, that's right. And that's right.
Yeah, there were like one weekend I knew of at least
a
two
lot
or
of
three.
Them.
There were a bunch of ransomware attacks at that same time, and I don't know if I'm becoming more aware or if they're increasing, but it feels like there's been just this massive increase on focus on security the last 3, 4, or 5 months or so.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. The COVID sent us all home. Everyone's working on their personal devices. Kids are installing apps on the corporate
laptop. Kids are
laptop
never touching my computer.
Or your personal device. You got Roblox running on there or TikTok. Ugh, we don't want TikTok. So you get that. That all becomes a combination where if you let your guard down at any moment in time, they got you. And so I think we're starting to see some of that where everyone's still working from home, They're not putting the effort to secure the endpoint devices, and they're not maybe doing training to educate people. And then you get CEOs that get stuck in a tough position because, boom, they got in, and now you're having to pay several millions of dollars to try to get an encryption, a decryption key.
It's been wild. It's been interesting. So this last one was one of the first ransomware attacks I was a little bit more directly involved with, and it's definitely fascinating to be on the inside and see kind of the process that it's going through, but also the amount of work that's involved. Like, if you let one of these things get in and you have to try to recover from it, it is a time-consuming endeavor.
Very much so.
To make sure, one, that all the ransomware is out, and that as you bring everything back online, it doesn't get reinfected. So you look at the amount of money you spend recovering from one of these versus the amount you may invest up front to protect yourself from one of these. It's worth it to spend a little more money on the front end.
Probably. I would tend to say, not to say that Defender is, it's got a price point to it. So probably relative in terms of whether it's expensive or not. But I think, there's not just the monetary aspect of it, but there's a reputational PR component to it, that you got hacked, so why should we ever trust you again?
Yeah.
Component to it, especially if you're a public company and you have investors to talk to at the end of the day, or hedge funds that are your major stockholders that are going, are you kidding me?
Right.
How did you let that happen? Because, yeah, you get hit with a ransomware and it gets in the news, you got to admit, your stock's going to go down.
Yeah, it's not going to be something you want.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
Anything else? We've talked about Microsoft Defender. We talked about Sentinel a little bit. Is there any other aspects of security when it comes to the Microsoft cloud that companies should be looking at? You kind of mentioned cloud app security there.
The only other thing, you know, that like Microsoft Defender for Endpoint is different from Microsoft Defender Antivirus. They are two separate things. And when we talk about the antivirus component of it, again, getting back to kind of antitrust, with Windows 10 and Windows Server 2019, what has ended up happening there is a programming API now exists that many of the products support, PowerShell, Office, some runtime components, support this ability to analyze things that come in. A lot of the times what you're going to see in attacks is like, they obfuscate things, they'll break strings apart, they'll move into separate components of the code, and then by the time it makes it to the engine, it's brought back together. So you can't really read it, but by the time it executes and gets sent, that's the time when you want to do the analysis. So in Windows 10 and Windows Server 2019, it doesn't matter what the antivirus is. It could be the Microsoft Defender antivirus, it could be Symantec, it could be someone else. It's their job now, and most of them know about this endpoint, but there is this, you plug it in, the system's going to send it to you and say, check it out, is it okay? And then it's going to come back. That didn't exist before.
Okay.
That wasn't there, and it doesn't exist in any previous products there. So running PowerShell on something pre-Windows 10 and Windows Server 2019 is probably not a very good idea. So the first and foremost thing is like upgrade everything.
Get the amount of people I know still running
XP 2012. Or 7.
Well,
or
the, on the Windows Server 2012. Side. Like in 2012, 2012.
And you know, I get it. You know, maybe you've got like software running on there that, you know, it's expecting a certain version. And it's like, you know what? I'm sorry to tell you. Get rid of whatever that app is. Time to modernize.
Time to get it updated.
Yeah, because, you know, you look at it and go, well, there's probably not everything you're going to be able to upgrade. Fair enough. But you're accepting the risk of saying, if I don't upgrade that to Windows 10 or Windows Server 2019, there is immediately medium risk assigned to this.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Anything else? People want to talk to you, find you, get in touch. Do you want people to get in touch with you?
Given all the work we have. Yeah. Fair question. Twitter's out there, LinkedIn, Given CJ. Yeah. And then I'm sure you can figure out what my science is. But maybe not in the next couple of months here, but towards the end of 2021, we might have extra time to...
Do some security stuff.
We have a lot coming.
All right. It'll be fun. So yeah, feel free, look up Chris, look up Saliance, connect with him, and reach out to Saliance if you have anything. We can do a little marketing plug for Saliance.
There we go.
I do a bunch of work with you guys as well. So thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks for sitting down.
Thank you, Ben.
Chatting with me, and we'll enjoy the rest of the conference.
That's right. It's cooling off.
Yeah, cool. It's Orlando. It never cools off. All right. We'll talk to you later, Chris.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.